I want to read a verse from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. As we complete 41 years, and as we move on, this is the word that's come to my mind. It says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. You know, we don't boast in CFC, but we do boast in what the Lord has done here in the last 41 years. And some of you, I hope you know that we've had a unique emphasis of many truths. And I have a fear that it's possible for some of us to lose a grip on the truths. See, for 41 years, we have stressed the same truths again and again and again. And still, if you look at the lives of many people, I can't say they are gripped by what they heard. That's my fear for many of us. And that's why we need to repeat certain things again and again. We need to have a new generation of brothers and sisters who will continue with the same vision, with the same zeal to uphold the truths, to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You know, Noah preached for 120 years. I really appreciate Noah. And Noah, may the Lord raise up many brothers and sisters here with the same vision God gave Brother Zach all these 41 years. And so, what's in my heart to just highlight briefly certain things that are so important to us, and that what we have emphasized all these years. That's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said here, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, way back, as we look back before 41 years, that was the burden the Lord gave to raise up a pure testimony for Jesus. And for that, the Lord needed brothers and sisters who will put God first in their lives, who will let God govern their lives, who will continually seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I want to say this morning, that's the kind of people God's looking for. Not converts, not just members in the church, not just will join CFC and come along for picnics. No, God's looking for brothers and sisters who will say, I want to seek God's kingdom first in my life, every day, every week, every month, every year. I have a fear, somehow we seem to be losing a grip on that. And that's what I want to stress this morning. Oh, may God raise up amongst us brothers and sisters who will say, for me, God's kingdom, God's government, God's rule, that's number one. And what is the mark of God's government, God's rule? And I want to say this morning, you know, what is the thing that we have stressed all these years? Absolute supremacy or importance of God's word in our lives. You know, we are living in times where God's word is not given the first place. You look at many, many, many places. What is important is entertainment, music. You look around, brothers and sisters. The main thing in many places is music and money. And God's word, that's the last priority. And we have fought against that. And you know, when CFC was started, we didn't have great music. But we valued God's word. And oh, may God bring us back to that same emphasis, like we say, back to the Bible. Oh, to give God's word total importance and implicit obedience. It is written, just to do what is written. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is, by the way, the Sermon on the Mount, and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And that's what we have emphasized all these years. I hope we have some wise men here. I hope you have built your house on the rock. Check up, brothers and sisters, is your life shaky? How is it when storms come, when the rains come, when the floods come? Are you shaky? Or you can say, by the grace of God, I learned to obey the words of Jesus. And no storm, no flood, no rain can shake me. And my life is built on the rock. I want to honestly say, I wonder, how many can say that? I'm sorry to say, I can't say that about every one of you. That all of us are building our life on the rock. But we don't want to change our vision and focus and emphasis. That's what Jesus said. And we want to raise up brothers and sisters who will implicitly obey what's written in the Word of God till the Lord comes. You know, we have spoken much about honoring God. 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, I'll honor. And for 41 years, that's the truth we heard here. Honor God. Honor God's word. I can't say everybody did that. I think there's a small minority within the church whose longing is to honor God. Oh, may God raise amongst us a generation of people who will say, number one priority for me is to honor God. You know, we are living in times where people don't want to honor God. I have seen right here in CFC, brothers who have been here, going and marrying unbelievers. That is not honoring God. That's not honoring God's word. And they couldn't care less even for the elders. They say, I want to do what I like. Of course, it doesn't go well with all those who don't honor God. But we want to raise up people who want to honor God and His word and His values. And we want to raise up princes who will honor the Holy Spirit. Who will say, I want the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me day after day after day. And you know, in Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, that was the burden of God's heart. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If my father wears my honor, if my master wears my respect, says the Lord, O priest who despise my name. And verse 11, it says, from the rising of the sun even to the setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name and a grain offering that's pure. For my name will be great among the nations. And I long to see brothers and sisters who have a great passion and a longing to say, I want to live on this earth to raise up a pure testimony. I want to support the work God's doing. First in my own life, then through my family. And oh, may God really give us a burden not to lose a grip on what we heard, to honor God, to honor God's word, to honor the Holy Spirit, to uphold God's standards, and be a part of a pure testimony. I want to ask you this morning, have you done anything that has brought dishonor to God's name in your life, or in your family, or in the church? That's very sad. Oh, we want brothers and sisters who can say, I don't want to dishonor God's name. I want to honor God. I want to honor God's word. I want to seek first God's kingdom. Oh, may God help us to retain those priorities in our life. Okay. I want to move on to the next thing that we have sought to uphold for many, many years in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. We heard the sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law but under grace. Brothers and sisters, as I've looked around in our country and many parts of the world, I rarely see anyone proclaiming that we here on earth can overcome anger, can overcome lusting, can overcome lying, can overcome grumbling and complaining. And we can overcome all bitterness, unforgiving attitudes, judging others, walking before people. Oh, we have proclaimed this, but I have a fear in my heart. Not many seem to be gripped by that life of victory, by that overcoming life. You know, Joshua, God led Moses, God enabled Moses to lead his people to the out of Egypt. But God enabled Joshua to enter the land of Canaan, for that he had to conquer giant one by one. And God gave grace to Joshua to possess the land of Canaan. But after Joshua died, you know what happened? There arose another generation. Oh, they didn't know all the struggles that Joshua went through to overcome these giants. And they took it easy. And they compromised. And they committed idolatry and immorality. And you know what was the result? In a short time, they lost the victory they had. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, first of all, we must believe that we can come to a life of victory. Then actually come to a life of victory. And then retain the life of victory. Otherwise, what happened to Joshua can happen to us. I want to ask you this morning, how many of you can say, I want victory at any cost? Those are the people who will come to a life of victory. Those who believe, those who seek God for grace. And for whom it's not theory. I want to ask you, dear brothers and sisters, this morning, is this life of victory or is it theory for you? One day, we sing in one song, one day I'll overcome. I don't believe one day I'll overcome. When is that one day? I don't know. I want to overcome now, here on earth, long before I die, in your 20s and 30s and 40s. You must overcome and live in that life of victory where you can say, sin will not rule over me. How many of us can say that? We gave opportunity for testifying. How many of you testified the last 1 month like that? That's the truth I heard. I don't want sin to rule over me. Otherwise, I must say we have lost a grip. Oh, I praise the Lord for the truth I heard. And I say, that's the truth that I wanted. I say, Lord, I want victory at any cost in my life. And may God raise amongst us brothers and sisters who are overcomers and will never go back to the defeated life. The Lord says, him who overcomes. That's the message we have proclaimed. Him who overcomes. You may ask, where are those overcomers? I hope we can find amongst us not invisible overcomers. No. We should be able to say, here are brothers and sisters whom God has led. Oh my God, I hope you will be in that number. God's looking for overcomers amongst us. Okay, I want to move on. You know what is God's burden? See, the root of all sin is pride. And God sent Jesus into this world. He came in our flesh. And Jesus, he conquered that pride, that rebellion in his life. Jesus was the first one. And he could say, I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. And brothers and sisters, that's what we have stressed all these years. And I hope that's your priority. Can you say you came to this church because you want to learn meekness and lowliness? Or is it because you just want to find one boy or girl? Or you want my children to know they can come here for Sunday school? Is that the reason? And even if you came here, I want to ask you this morning, how much interest you had in meekness and lowliness? Have you conquered the spirit of pride, the rebellion in your life? Can you say the Lord has cleansed you from many, many high thoughts and he has given you a meek and a lowly and a humble heart? You know, in 1 Peter 3, he speaks about a meek and a quiet spirit that is precious in the sight of God. How many of you can say, ever since I came to CFC, the meek and a quiet spirit is precious to me? That's the only thing I want. I hope we have many sisters like that amongst us. You know, Jesus said, if you want to be first, you'll be the last and servant of all. That's the kind of church God has sought to build here. Brothers who will not look for leadership, prominence, to be in the limelight. Those who want to be the last, till the Lord comes, who say, I want to be a servant. And God is gathering together the humble, the poor in spirit, broken and contrite. I want to read that verse in Zephaniah this morning when I was reading it. Bless my heart. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. He says, I will leave among you a humble and a lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. And verse 11 here says, I will remove from your midst your proud, exulting ones, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. What kind of people God is gathering together? Those who hate pride and rebellion, high thoughts, and those who want to be humble and lowly. God is gathering together such people, even today. And we want to gather such people only. He says here, no deceitful tongue, no lies be found in their mouths. Have you cleansed yourself from all lying? And the humble get grace. They get abundance of grace. And that's the gospel we have proclaimed. To humble ourselves, go that way, and conquer the spirits of pride and rebellion, and raise up brothers and sisters on whom God's grace can rest. Oh, I praise the Lord for the work God's doing, and I hope you'll be gripped by that, brothers and sisters. And number four, you know what we have stressed for 41 years? Discipleship. Not converts, not good brothers and sisters, not believers. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, Luke 14, 26, let him hate his father, mother, wife, children, his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, if a man cannot take up his cross, deny himself, for he cannot be my disciple. I said, if you don't forsake all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. And Jesus is looking even today for such disciples. I hope we are not grieving God's heart. We have nearly, I don't know, about 400 people. And I want to say, with a little bit of grief in my heart, I don't know out of this 400, how many are disciples. I don't know. But I want to say this morning, God's looking for disciples for whom Jesus, number one, he's so precious, who'll value his word, keep his word out of love. And the disciples don't remain as babies. That's what we heard all these years. Press on to perfection, maturity, don't remain as babes. God has sought to lead us as the church higher. Move on from being a baby to maturity. We have to go to school, and then POC, then college, then post-graduation, then PhD, and we can grow in our spiritual life, not remain as babies. I hope we don't lose our vision. Is that your longing, brothers and sisters, to grow in the Lord? Number one priority is not to be a baby. I want to grow. God's looking for mature brothers and sisters, not babies. And you know how we can become mature? You know how we can grow in the Lord? And that's also we have stressed all these years. I want to say, it's in my heart to stress these things, not to give you a message this morning. We heard in the beginning that Jesus came into this earth. He took upon flesh and blood just like us. He was tempted like us in all points. And he did not yield to sin. And that we can also follow Jesus in his footsteps. And we can also overcome sin in our daily life, in the time of temptation. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, is that, have you got a grip on that? Some of you are so eager. Oh, my name is, I'm eager to have your name in the commitment list. But how much have you learned to follow Jesus in the time of temptation? Have you learned to say no to sin? Have you learned to resist? Have you learned to put up a fight? Have you learned to keep yourself in the time of temptation? And that's how we can be conformed to the image of Jesus, not in a vague, imaginary kind of way. You know, the Lord wants to lead us and guide us and help us to put to death the deeds of the body so that we can have a spiritual life. And not only that, the Lord wants us to be faithful in every temptation, and He also wants us to be faithful in every trial. You know, when you are faithful in the trial, don't doubt God's word, don't doubt God's love, you grow. You become strong. He says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Can you say, this is what I learned in CFC? To be faithful in the time of temptation, to be faithful in every trial, and then you can grow, God can bring you to a place where every spirit of pride and rebellion that questions God is removed, and you learn to give thanks in everything, and you grow in the Lord. You get rest in your heart. You come to maturity. You come to know the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of God. And thus you come to a hidden life before God. And that's God's great longing, to raise up brothers and sisters who are faithful to God in trial and temptation and who thus have a hidden life. You know, many of us, we have external life. We are good brothers and sisters. We come to the meeting, we read the Bible, we pray. But God's looking for those who are faithful. That's the spirit of the bride. And that's what we emphasized all this year. Be faithful in the time of temptation. Be faithful in your trial. Have a hidden life before God. Keep your heart with all diligence. Let your heart become a good treasure. I hope it's gripped your heart. And another mark of discipleship is to love the brethren. Jesus said, love you one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. I want to ask you, is that your burden? Oh, I want to love the brothers and sisters. And if you love the brothers and sisters, you will also long to build them up, edify them, strengthen them, encourage them, strengthen them. You will pursue after love, desire, the gift of the Spirit, gift of the prophecy, and say, Lord, I want to bless them. I want to build them up. And Jesus is looking for such a church where even our music is not good. Where there's love. I hope God can look at our church and say, oh, the brothers and sisters love each other. And we've also stressed for all these years in this verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. See, it's been unique that way. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And I think many of us don't know sufficiently that all these 41 years, we have sought to raise people who don't love money. And here in CFC, we have never begged for money. In the midst of a Christendom, there's always begging for more and more money. God has raised up many shepherds here and across our country and the world, those who support themselves and who don't take money from the church. And CFC Bangalore has given huge amounts to many churches. We have had conferences where we have given free accommodation and free food for many years. We have given and given, and I hope we'll have another generation of brothers and sisters who will uphold the same values and say, we don't want to ask anyone for money, and take a completely clear, strong stand. It's almost impossible to find a church that doesn't ask for money. Look around, do some homework, brothers and sisters. Everywhere, they're asking for money. And we have sought to be separate from Babylon. Mark of Babylon is God and money, God and entertainment, God and world. And we have sought to really be unique in this. And oh, may God give us grace to continue in the same footsteps. And we have heard for years, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. We don't judge others, we judge. I hope God will find amongst us generation of brothers who long to judge themselves, cleanse themselves, and continue this way till the Lord comes. Okay. And the last thing I want to say this morning, you sought to build the church as the body of Christ. Again, that is unknown in Christendom. Everybody's got their own ministries, got their own denomination. In the midst of it, to raise up brothers and sisters who love Jesus supremely and be disciples and who love one another, who have a connection with the Lord and connection with each other, who will present their body as a living sacrifice, who will seek to encourage and build up one another, and as a result, they have had unity, harmony, fellowship amongst us for 41 years. And I want to challenge all the young brothers and sisters. I hope you'll follow the older brothers and say, I want to go this way. Being the last and the least and servant of all. Being faithful. Being separate from the spirit of the world. And God's great longing amongst us has been to make us mature. Paul told Colossians, our aim is to present everyone mature in Christ. And that's what we have started to do in CFC. We want to raise up brothers into maturity. And part of maturity is also to control your tongue. So that your tongue is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And for years, we have stressed, read the book of Revelation, where the Lord has spoken to seven churches. And retain your first love. And be separate from the spirit of the world, the spirit of idolatry, immorality, the love of monies, spirit of Balaam. What the Lord spoke to church in Pergam and Thyatira, and to keep our garments unspotted, and not to be lukewarm, to be red hot, to buy gold, and to have the anointing of God in our lives, and to live with the spirit of repentance, and to hear what the Lord is saying, and to be overcomers. And if you've been coming here regularly, you've heard this word for many, many years. And I want to say this morning, I have a fear whether we are losing a grip. How many of you can say, Lord, if you'll only give me first love, that's enough for me, Lord. I only want to remain in first love till the end. I never want to be a backslider. Is that the reason why you're coming here to the church? How many of you can say, oh brother, please help me. I want to remain in first love. I want to be obedient. I want to be faithful in tribulation. I want to walk before God. I want to be the church that God wants. No, may God give us grace to uphold these values, not to lose a grip on them. And that's why we need to stir one another, fire one another, challenge one another, because we can all lose a grip and become cold and lukewarm. And may God give us grace to fight the good fight of faith and contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints. And say, Lord, like Noah, 120 years he preached. Brother Zach preached 41 years. And Brother Ian faithfully. And oh, may God raise up many brothers and sisters who will say like Joshua, we'll go and possess the land. And you want another generation who will retain that land, retain that victory till the Lord comes. Can I hear amen this morning? Amen. Amen.
When Jesus started his ministry, one of the first things that he did was to go to the synagogue. And when time came, he stood up to read the scriptures. He was handed over a scroll and he opened the scriptures where it was written about the exaltation of the afflicted. The passage that Isaiah quoted in chapter 61, he read it, that we read about in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He started with this, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, etc., etc. The oil of gladness, verse 3, instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting, etc. We read in the beginning of Jesus' ministry that he started with the Sermon on the Mount. This is one of the things on which this church is built. I remember when I came to this church in the early 80s, one of the first tapes that I took from here was the three or four tapes, I don't remember how many there were, chapters 5, 6 and 7 of Matthew, about Sermon on the Mount. And this is what this church is built upon. And over a period of time, it is possible that we may have lost sight of it and the significance of it and the importance of it. You know, in the Old Covenant, the Lord gave the commandments on Mount Zion, the Ten Commandments. And in the New Covenant, there is someone far superior to Moses. The one who gave the commandment on Mount Zion is the one who came in the New Covenant and spoke in the on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You have heard it said like this, but I say unto you." It was written like this in the Old Covenant, but I'm saying this unto you. What is it he's speaking about? We read about that in the third chapter onwards of Matthew 5, about the Beatitudes. What is Beatitude? What are Beatitudes? Beatitudes is let this attitude be in you, like it says in Philippians, which was also in Christ Jesus. The same attitude that Jesus had. The meaning of Beatitudes is supreme bliss or supreme happiness. That's what Jesus stressed upon. He said, "Blessed are the meek." Blessed means someone to be envied. You know, you look at somebody who is so, you know, everything going well with that guy or with that sister. He's always happy and cheerful and carefree and doesn't gossip and has forgiven everybody and is living in victory, and there's a twinkle in their eyes and a spring in their step, a song in their heart, and you feel like coveting. I wish I was like that. I read about a person like that, about Smith Wigglesworth. Once he was doing some plumbing work in somebody's house, and that lady often used to come and look at him at his radiant face and used to wonder how this man is so happy doing this menial job. You know, something like that, when people look at you, they must be tempted to look at you again. That is the meaning of respect. Respect means to look at the person again, respect. Something like that. That's what Jesus said about. Maybe we can look at a few things in that Beatitudes. Many of these things Jesus spoke here from chapter 3 to chapter 12. And then he said, this is obviously after having obeyed these commands to become poor in spirit and mourn and be gentle and hunger and thirst, and be merciful, pure in heart, peacemaker, being persecuted, and yet rejoicing, and things like that. When you do all this, then to such people Jesus says, you are the salt of this earth. You are a light of the world. You know, only such people can become salt and light in this world. And to such people, what does Jesus say? He says in verse 20 of chapter 5 of Matthew, says, "For I say unto you," see again, the Lord says with authority, not like Moses. He gave second-hand command, what the Lord gave, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. This is what the Lord gave on the Mount Sinai. But here the Lord who gave on Mount Sinai the commandments is the same Lord on this mount giving a new set of commandments, which are far superior and are much, much higher and harder to keep. And he says here, "I say unto you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Boy, how is it? The Ten Commandments only they were struggling to keep. Paul said, "I have kept all the commandments," but when it came to the tenth commandment, "Thou shalt not covet," he was not able to keep that. And none of us was able to keep that. And here Jesus has come with a load of commandments in these three chapters, and you wonder how in the world can I keep these commandments. That's why Jesus says in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount, he said, ask and you shall receive. Ask for what? Ask for the Holy Spirit. You being evil fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children, but how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? He said, ask, seek and knock. You take all the first alphabets of these three words, A for ask, S for seek, K for knock, and again you get A-S-K, ask. God is not tired of your asking. His ears are always open to the prayer of the righteous and the needy and the hungry, but on one condition. You want God to listen to your prayers? You want God to forgive you? Then there is only one condition that Jesus gave here in chapter 6. He taught us how to pray. In verse 12 it says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. The same thing he emphasizes here in verse 14 and 15. But if you forgive men of their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, then your Father will not forgive your transgression. Can it be any clearer than this? You want your sins to be forgiven. You want to walk in victory. You want to walk as a forgiven sinner. But your hand is upon somebody else's throat, and you expect God to release that from your throat. The Lord emphasized that specifically to tell people that don't think that forgiveness is something unconditional. Yes, initially He does. Unconditionally He forgives. When we come to Him as sinners and we ask for forgiveness, He forgives. But then He expects us to be merciful to others just as He has been merciful to us. The same thing He said in Mark 11 also. He said, when you stand praying, you sense that you have something against somebody. Maybe it is your colleague or your neighbor or your relative or a friend. You have something against them. When I was in my need, that fellow didn't come and help me and left me in the lurch, and I had to struggle, and I had to come up on my own. Yeah, but didn't God help you there? Did you do it on your own? Didn't God give you the health and the breath and the grace and the strength and the wisdom to do well and to come up? Why do you want to keep that grudge against that person? You want to be released? You release others. You don't want to be released? Then you hold on. It says in another translation, release and you'll be released. We know that parable that Jesus said about the forgiveness in Matthew 18, about two debtors, one who owed him about, in those days it was 10 million, it says in my margin, 10 million American dollars. This was probably some 2-3 decades ago this was written. I don't know what is today's value. And another guy was just, he owed him something like one day's wage or something like that. This guy who was forgiven $10 million comes out, having been forgiven, comes out and meets somebody who just owes him a day's wage or something like that. And he catches him by the throat and he says, pay up. And he says, have mercy on me. And till he pays up, he puts him in prison. And when the king comes to know about it, he does exactly the same thing that this fellow did to the other fellow. He said, should you also not have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers. Who are the torturers? Demons. Until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you, if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. My brother, you may be sitting here in CFC for years. You still have something against somebody whom you have not released, and you expect God to release you and to answer your prayers and to forgive your sins. Far from it. Maybe you have been thinking that you are forgiven, but let me tell you, on the basis of God's word, that your sins have not been forgiven. The ones you committed after you have been forgiven. Until you release that person against whom you have something, God will not forgive your sins. Don't be under delusion. Don't think that you can make it. You cannot. Otherwise, God's word is not true. Many people think that Jesus has done it all for me. I am on my way to heaven. Many people in the denominations, they think and they sing about that. The ticket has been obtained. The passport is ready. I have a license. License for what? God's word is very exact, brothers and sisters. God's promises are conditional. Initially, yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish but have everlasting life. But in the same chapter, you know what the last verse says? Verse 36. He who believes will be saved. He who does not obey will be condemned. Go home and read that. When you believed in chapter 3:16, you were saved. But afterwards, if you behaved like the devil, being unforgiving and unmerciful to others, not 3:16 is the verse for you, brother. 3:36 is the verse for you. He who doesn't obey the one who has commanded you to forgive, if you don't obey, you will be damned. This is the new covenant. This is the Sermon on the Mount given by the Lord, who gave the Sermon on the Commandments on Mount Sinai. These words are harder than those Ten Commandments. But you can do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power, not tongues necessarily. Power to forgive. Power to release. Have you been so much, persecuted and troubled so much as the Lord Jesus? Did anybody crucify you publicly, humiliated you, like Jesus was? He forgave even in that last hour. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But you still have grudge. You still have unforgiveness and bitterness against somebody. I remember when I first came, one of the first messages I heard in CFC in the early 80s. This message, if you don't forgive somebody, even your heavenly Father will not forgive. I had a grudge against one person. That day I was convicted when I heard this. Then and there in the meeting, I immediately released that person. And a great joy came into my heart. And since then, I don't remember having anything against anybody. I remember another incident when I had some problem with a colleague of mine in the office. I always used to have problem with him, and I didn't know what to do. One day in the meeting, the Lord so convicted me, I literally felt like crying out to the Lord with a loud voice. I could not contain it. And that was a Sunday, and Monday I was actually on leave. I felt so constrained in my spirit that Monday, even though I had taken leave, I went to the office. I met this colleague of mine. I told him I'm sorry. I asked his forgiveness. You know, when your spirit is sensitive, you will do it quickly, even when it inconveniences you. You will not say, okay, next day when I meet him. No, even though I was on leave, I went to the office that day, only to ask his forgiveness. Then I came back. You know, when we are sensitive to God, then you can expect God to speak to you. No, then you can expect to make progress. Sometimes people wonder, why is it that I am not making progress? Why is it that things are not going well with me? Examine your own heart, brother and sister. If we judged ourselves, last week's memory verse was, we shall not be judged, week before last. You don't want God to judge you, then you judge yourself and release others. It's not only just believing, it's also obeying. That's what Jesus finally emphasized on the Sermon on the Mount, the last four verses there in chapter 7. He says, after having heard all these things, the one who hears these words of mine and does them or obeys, he's like a man who built his house upon the rock, and the floods came and the storm came and the water rose up. Nothing happened to the house that was built upon the rock because it was built on solid rock foundation. But the man who doesn't do that, Jesus compared him to the man who built his house upon the sand. You know how it is. Once the sand underneath is washed off, whatever is on top of that also comes crumbling down. So Jesus is not building that kind of a church. Jesus is building the kind of the church that he portrayed in the Sermon on the Mount. If we take the Sermon on the Mount, listen to that, brothers and sisters, take these tapes, take these messages, go back home, download on your computers, listen to the Sermon on the Mount over and over and over again, verse by verse, study that, put it into practice, then you'll be like the person who builds his house on solid ground. People sometimes wonder, what do I do when I hit rock bottom? When do you do when you hit rock bottom? The best thing for you to do is start building on that rock which is at the bottom, and then your house will stand unshakable, full of glory. God bless.
We have heard some powerful words this morning, and we will do ourselves good if we take heed to it. As we come to the close of this anniversary month, remember the things that we have heard, like we heard in the beginning. We pay much closer attention to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And that's a word that speaks to my heart. It doesn't say lest we fall away from it, you know, that's sudden, but we drift away from it. And that is a picture of a ship that loses, that gets off course by 1 degree. And it begins to drift. It'll end up on the rocks. So I, for myself, want to pay much closer attention to the things that I've heard for 41 years. we began this month with this word here, be merciful to others just as God has been merciful to you. The word that we had right in the very beginning in the old church. We want to remind ourselves, and particularly in the light of what Brother Charles has shared, that if we don't forgive others, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. Let's remember that. Let's remember that, to forgive, to release quickly, particularly the ones who lie closest to our bosom. The ones we live with 24/7, to forgive. Not to wait till the sun sets, much, much before that, immediately. And we heard Charles's testimony. Whatever inconvenience, whatever it is, to go and release somebody. And I want to say that as we close the meeting this morning, this part of the meeting, that if you still, after all you've heard in this church, you still hold grudges and resentment and bitterness, no matter whom, worse still if it's towards a brother or sister in the church, make it a point after this meeting. Repent of it now, make it a point to go and meet that person and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, I've been cold towards you. I've distanced myself to you. And if it's like that in your home, towards your own life partner, towards your children, towards any relative, to go back and say, I'm sorry. Even if they've done you wrong and done you harm, I'm sorry, please forgive me. If we don't forgive others, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. If we are not merciful to others, God will not be merciful to us. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's remember that. And really ask the Lord that this coming year, the coming years, we would press on to higher ground. That I'm not going to remain here. I want to pay much closer attention to the things that I've heard. And I would encourage you, my brothers and sisters, and I'm not telling you to do something I've not done. I've gone back and listened, gone to the website, gone to the live recordings and listened. And I want to take heed to what we have heard this morning, many things that Brother Newton has shared, which we have heard for 41 years, and what Brother Charles has shared. And I would encourage you to do that, because then it will register in your spirit and it will bring forth fruit in your life. So let's make this in the light of all that we have heard. Lord, I want to press on to higher ground. I don't want to remain where I am. This is a song, this is a hymn that was written in the 1800s. And that should be our prayer. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Let's have faith for that. I'm going to gain new heights from today onwards. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's make that our prayer. Let's make that our desire this morning. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on Canaan's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Will you make that our prayer this morning? Let that be the longing of our hearts as we give thanks to God for all that He has done for us these 41 years. Lord, I want the coming year to be a glorious year. I want a higher ground, Lord. I don't want to remain where I am. It says, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height, catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till rest I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. And I was reading that a mother used to sing that to her children, this very song. And let's really encourage one another, encourage our children, encourage our partners, that we press on to higher ground. Let's stand up, come brothers, and sing together and make this our desire, our prayer for the coming years.